We were designed for a destiny. Last week we talked about we were shaped for a purpose. God designed us for a destiny, and it's a divine destiny. It's the destiny not just for us individually, but for all of creation. God has a plan, and we're a part of it. As a matter of fact, the people going by here in their cars are a part of it, and they just don't even know it. People on the other side of the world are a part of that plan, but they might not be aware that they were designed with a destiny. But that's what we're here to examine and to understand today. We were redeemed to be a resource used by the very hand of God to make a divine difference in this world. We were shaped to serve. That's what it boils down to. We were shaped to serve, to be servants. Now, that's not a real pleasant idea, I think, to come into our minds, to be servants. None of us have probably been fortunate enough to be so wealthy we had servants to order around and do things. But we certainly remember that in our history. We certainly have seen stories of that. We have watched movies where there are servants, and sometimes they're not well treated. I mean, they get to live in a beautiful house or a castle somewhere, but we always hear these stories about breaking away from that and finding your own wealth. We like the Cinderella stories, because there's something in our nature that just doesn't like the idea of being a servant. And yet that is what we were designed to be. That's a part of our destiny. That is one of the reasons we were redeemed. That is why we are saved, for servanthood. And we have to overcome our own egos to do that. Because in God's design for our lives, the fourth and fifth purposes that Rick Warren talks about is that we are to have a ministry, and that is a specific job or service in the life of the church to use among believers, among those who have come to know Jesus Christ, and we are to serve God in the world with a mission outside of the church. A mission to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in the world. Now, there is a loophole in that for us, and a lot of people like to find the loopholes. And the loophole is this: God is going to accomplish His divine purpose with or without us, but it's not His desire and will to do it that way. God is going to establish His eternal kingdom with or without us, but He doesn't want it to be without us. The thing God desires most is for us to cooperate with His design for our lives and for the life of our world, for us to find our place in ministry in the local church. In other words, what are we called to do within the church to serve one another? What was God calling you to do when you became a Christian? You see, God has known all along. We talked about that last week. You know, that's why He shaped you the way He did, with all of your talents and abilities and spiritual gifts, and put you in the environment where you were in and gave you the history. So all of that becomes useful when you fulfill the ministry for which you were created and the mission for which you were created. Have you really discovered that for yourselves? Or do you just like the idea of living eternally in order to avoid living eternally with damnation? I just want to be on the good side instead of the bad side. A couple of weeks ago in the Wednesday evening Bible study, I talked about something I've been trying to do for the last year, and that's stop talking about good people. Sound weird? Sound strange to you? I mean, it dawned on me that when the rich young ruler talked to Jesus and said, "Good teacher," and right there Jesus stopped and says, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but God." You see, we like to think of ourselves as good folks. We're good folks. We're good people. Because there's some bad people out there in the world. And we can describe all these bad things. So by contrast, I'm a good person. And I don't know about you, but when I was struggling with this whole thing as a teenager and what God wanted to do in my life, you know, I didn't figure I was all that good. As a matter of fact, I didn't feel like I was much of anything unless God was with me. And I got to thinking about what I wanted to do with my life, and that was maybe be a commercial artist or an architect. And you know, but dog, if I could figure out a way, I could really serve and glorify God a whole lot with those two things. Now, I could think up some. You know, we're real good at rationalizing. We decide we're going to do what we want to do, and then we make the facts match up with what we want. And I could have worked out some schemes. Well, I could draw for the Lord. But you know, quite frankly, I couldn't think of any right off the top of my head drawing activities for the Lord. Oh, maybe I could be a great artist, inspire people to come to God, but well, what kind of pictures was going to paint to do that? And as much as I liked art and design, I guess I could have become an architect and, you know, designed a church. But you see, I just wasn't too sure that was saying enough to God for what he had done for me, because I wasn't that great a prize. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty much nothing without God. I got a lot of weakness. I got a lot of things that I don't do well. There are a lot of things in my life that still aren't the way they need to be. And I just couldn't figure out a way that I could go forward with a career and really serve God when God had been so good to me in spite of my failure in serving him. You see, I really didn't know any lay people who really served and glorified God a whole lot in their life. They fell under that category of good folks. You know, I went to church with good folks. But they weren't so good that they gave a witness to me that in their lay life they were doing some great mission for God. I mean, we talked and jibber-jabbered that. But you know, I didn't see that as a teenager in my church. I saw people come to church, sit down on a pew for the most part, and go home. Well, that didn't inspire me to great heights. I saw a few people work pretty hard in the church. But by golly, they fussed and argued with each other so much, I didn't see that was glorifying God very much. I saw folks that, you know, really seemed to enjoy what they were doing, but, you know, I kind of got the feeling they were doing it for them instead of for God. But it sounds a lot nicer if you tack on, "Well, I'm doing this for the Lord." But kind of feel their real motives. But not too many people are going to get together in the church and say, "Well, I'm here doing all this work because it makes me feel so doggone good about myself." "Well, I'm doing this for the Lord." Now that sounds much more holy. And I had finished college. I started preaching when I was 19 years old in the Methodist church. And when I finished college, I went to Sanford. And over there, I figured out, you know, maybe I could have done more for the Lord as a layperson than I could as a minister. But you know, once you get ordained, you know, they can take your credentials away, but they really can't unordain you, you know. Once they lay hands on you and consecrate you, you can't unlay hands. I mean, it's been done. You've been set aside for the Lord, and you can run from that, and I did. I left the ministry, went into the business world, ran a restaurant, was going to open a restaurant and try to serve the Lord through that, but I just couldn't get away from that fact that I'd already been a preacher. People just don't let you get away from that. And you know, you just can't come out and lie to them. But I really came to a conclusion that though I couldn't become a layperson and represent the Lord and have the freedom to do a lot of things that I really can't do as a clergy person, I came to realize then and there, lay people in the church are the strongest force for good for God in the world today. Not ministers, not clergy, but lay people. Because you see, other people who live and work out in the world listen to you if you truly have your ministry and your mission square. I'm talking to them. Just as soon as they find out I'm a preacher, they say, yeah, but you're a preacher. You know, it's like they're cursing you in a nice way. Well, preachers are supposed to do that stuff. It's your job to do that stuff. You're a preacher. If I ask them about their prayer life, they say, yeah, but you're a preacher. If I ask them about what they're doing to witness in the world, they say, well, not a whole lot. And I talk about the way I try to witness in the world. Yeah, but you're a preacher. Everything I come up with about fulfilling those five purposes that God has for our lives, I'm supposed to have this special inside row because I'm a preacher. Have you ever thought that that's actually a roadblock to witnessing? It gets in the way sometimes. It's like pulling a big old cart loaded with rocks. Sometimes lay people in the church are the most powerful force for God's good in the world today if you will live out your purposes and not let your agenda get in the way. Maybe my ministry as a clergy person is to be here to equip and encourage you. But I can't do it for you. I can't be what God wants you to be. I mean, I have a difficult enough time being what God wants me to be. And I do that very poorly sometimes. But you have a ministry in this church or some church. Are you denying that? Are you running away from it? Does life situations have such a grip on you that you're running from a real ministry to the people of God? Do you feel like the people that know you best, you got to kind of run away from them because you can't do it there. They know me. Can't do my changing there. They won't give me a chance. And we have all kinds of excuses for not fulfilling our ministry. And then heaven knows our excuses for not going outside these walls when we can't even talk to each other. When we can't even minister to each other in the safety of this place we call the church. How do we go out and talk to others? What about our own family ministries, members who haven't committed themselves to Jesus Christ? What about the people we work with every day that we don't really have the courage to witness to them and give our testimony and talk about how we came to the Lord and how the Lord's changed our lives and made a difference to us? And we see them almost every day. What about those people down the block? Not to mention the people over in not so good a section of town. Or people across the country or across the globe. What excuses do we have to avoid our mission to the world? We were designed divine destiny. We were redeemed to be a resource in this church and in this world. We were saved for servanthood. And when it comes right down to it, purpose 4 and 5 is just a little hard to swallow because it means we've got to set aside our personal agendas and get involved with God's plan, God's design, God's purpose for redemption and salvation, which is all about serving Him. But when we do, He opens the door of blessings. What is your ministry? And what is the specific mission you can fulfill in sharing the good news beyond the church? Because our future depends on you discovering that. God will accomplish His divine purpose with or without us. The point is, are we going to be there to see it and to enjoy it? Let us pray. Gracious Father, Sometimes we think this whole thing about servanthood is just asking too much. We're busy people. I mean, we got lives, and we got families, and we've got jobs, and we've got property and stuff we got to take care of, and we've messed up a bunch of those. When are we going to find the time and the energy and the commitment to figure out what our ministry in the life of the church is? And even more important, because it's your most important goal, to reach out to those who don't know about you. That's why your son really came into the world. That's why we're called to be the church. We're to be a spiritual body in the world today. We're to keep on bringing people to the good news of Jesus Christ. Quite frankly, Lord, we're scared to death because we don't know what we're doing. Thank you for giving us your Son as a guide, your Holy Spirit to support us, to sustain us, to inspire us to do so much more than we've ever done before. So we can truly say, yes, Lord God, Lord Jesus, we are the body of Christ in the world today. Help us be your servants and fulfill our destiny. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.